It's Bullseye on the Afternoon with Andy Bull Barch and Matt Douglas on AM 930 WEOL.
14 minutes after 4 o'clock, it's Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Andy Bull Barch joined alongside Matt Douglas, having some fun here on a Tuesday. We're not necessarily off yesterday. We just didn't have a show yesterday because of the tribe. Well, this has kind of like become like the new theme. Like, I feel like every regular guest we have has a theme.
Yeah.
Dave O'Brien deserves his own theme. Now, I'm just playing
the Irish
songs.
Rejoin.
But if Dave would like a different song, I feel like Dave should be able to pick out his own song, shouldn't he? Yeah. All right, so Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle Telegram is here. Dave's appearance is, of course, brought to you by the fine folks at Vandermark Jewelers. Stop by and say hi to Jim, Bob, and the entire gang at Vandermark Jewelers, right across from the hospital on Broad Street, a trusted name in jewelry. So what kind of theme song do you want from here on out, my friend? If you're okay with the Irish songs, we can stick with those, but is there anything else?
Hey, that's not too bad. Right. I'm not going to turn up my nose at some good Irish tunes.
All right. Fair enough, because we've certainly given some other folks the opportunity to pick their songs out, or they just kind of take a liking to whatever we play.
Yeah, and I'd say more of that than the other. But we gave Dave. Dave's a regular. He gets to pick.
Yeah. He shows up in studio every week. Yeah. Actually, well, you know, not to come to think of it, I don't know that Lisa Roberson ever requested her own song when she was in here.
Yeah, I don't either. Now that you bring that up, I don't think we did. So we've already given you a little bit more here, Dave. You're welcome.
Hey, there we go. Hey, I feel honored.
There's some flexibility, man, for sure. Well, you've been all over the place. And unfortunately, boy, you've covered a lot of fires within the last week. And, you know, I think when we were talking before we came on the air, you mentioned that you've actually got to run back down to Grafton when you're done with us here, because there's supposed to be some sort of a press conference a little bit later on. You were down in Grafton a little bit earlier, and for those who haven't heard, we are, of course, talking about the fire in downtown Grafton yesterday. Lou's Pizza was one of the buildings that went up in flames, and I know you were down there earlier today, really kind of talking to a lot of folks and just capturing the shock of the emotion down there right now.
Yeah, the atmosphere is subdued. There's a lot of you know, raw emotions, and understandably so. I mean, Lou's was a 42-year institution. I'm sure there's a lot of kids in there, and you know, and then later on their kids, and maybe heck even their grandkids who ate there after softball or baseball or football or what have you. And there were family members down there, and a lot of other media, Chronicle reporters going to be there, all day, and as soon as, until we find out what the cause was, and we're going to be around and telling Grafton's story. And fortunately, nobody got hurt. A lot of property damage. There's basically a big hole in downtown Grafton, and it's sad. It's sad to see. I've covered one other similar fire 5 years ago. That just leveled a whole, basically a whole village block, with my former paper. And, it's sad to see, but I think people are pulling together. I spoke to a couple of folks who said, we're really excited, after the kind of the grief goes away, excited to see, what we might rebuild. So there's already talk of rebuilding. Right. So that's, I think that's a good, my two cents, it's a good attitude to have.
Sure.
Sadness at the loss, but then say, okay, well, what's next?
Yeah.
It's a new opportunity, right?
Yeah. Sorry, I was just going to ask, the Allstate Insurance Company, I know that got hit as well. I know she was able, from my understanding, to go back in and get some stuff she wanted. Is that a complete loss too, or are they...
Unknown at this point.
Gotcha.
The exterior of the building is pretty well scorched, and there are windows that were busted out and that were boarded up today. There's a large crack in the facade of that building. It's a brick building. I believe it went up in 2003. Replaced, I believe, another building that caught fire and burned to the ground, if memory serves, some years ago.
Gotcha.
This is one of those things where, that's brand new, but then you had, an 1890s, I mean, Lou's Pizza, the building was built in the 1890s. Wow. That property's, irreplaceable, but again, fortunately, nobody got hurt. And that's one of those, you know, silver linings in the black cloud.
For sure. And I saw the family was able to get the sign too, the loose yes. pizza sign. They were yes. happy about that.
Yes, there was a great photo that we had on our website that had police officers, community members, family members, firefighters carrying that sign. Yeah. And I think that was a pretty iconic photo. It's like people in the community coming together, you know, supporting each other, you know, supporting the family. Yeah. And hey, you know, best wishes to Grafton, and I'll see you folks here real soon, and see what we can learn more and report on that for the Chronicle.
Yeah, man, you know, this comes up every now and again, but look, sometimes when things are at their worst, that's when people are at their best.
Yes.
And that really kind of sometimes brings things together. Well, you've really kind of been all over the place in the last week, and you wrote an article last week I thought was pretty fascinating about a proposed Lorain County Student Wellness and Success funding idea, which seems like it's absolutely needed. And, you know, some of the comments that you put together from some of the area superintendents as well, I thought were pretty fascinating, because it seemed like the superintendents were a little suggestive, but they were also pretty excited about the prospective funding that they might receive from some of this.
Yeah, and this is part of the, There's always discussion, you know, anytime the state budget comes up about, you know, what are we going to do about education? I think it's a real touch point in any of the state budgets that I've, you know, I covered over the years. This could potentially pump a significant amount of money into Lorain County for the school districts to provide what they call wraparound services. Now, that's kind of a lingo, basically for anything from counseling to social services. If a student is truant, you know, if they're not showing up to school, if they're consistently late or whatever, that's one thing. But if they're doing it because, you know, mom or dad can't get them on the bus, or mom or dad doesn't have a car, or mom or dad in the hospital and they have, you know, younger siblings to take care of, well, that's a whole different issue. You're not going to school not because you're skipping, it's because you can't. So there's that kind of thing, or students who have, you know, behavioral or need counseling, you know, behavioral issues, things like that. This could potentially provide social workers, you know, more guidance counselors. Many of the superintendents that I talked to, and throughout time have always said, hey, you know, I have one guidance counselor for my, you know, 2-3 elementary schools, and they just jump around from day to day, and you have to make appointments. And elementary school kids, you know, if they're in crisis. Yeah. They can't make an appointment, you know, so then it falls to the parents. Well, if the parents are working, you know, so this would allow some of the school districts to provide in-house these kinds of services. It's a little, you know, boost in state funding. And many of the school districts already do this. I mean, let's be honest, like Lorain County, some of the school districts have a poverty, poverty concerns. And they need to provide these things because, you know, again, students might not get. If they have a day off, they might not get 3 meals at home. They might rely on their meals coming from school, you know. But if you can reach out to a student and say, hey, why aren't you in school? Or what's preventing this student, you know, tag that student, not label them, but tag them as, hey, maybe this kid just needs a little extra something. That's what this money would be, you know, would be paying for. So we'll see what happens in the biennial budget. You know, when that all gets finalized this summer, and, you know, we'll see what the legislature wants to do. But a lot of, you know, I would peg the superintendents I talked to as cautiously optimistic.
Cautiously optimistic is good, though, right?
That, yeah, much better good, than yeah. much me- yeah. better than certainly pessimistic, you know?
<That's, Yeah. laughs> No question about that. Again, we're talking with Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle Telegram on our local beat, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. Well, people are asking questions about Gulf Road again, because it just opened up not that long ago, and now there are going to be some things that might want to make drivers avoid that area this week.
Today, there were crews out there doing, and maybe some people in construction. Again, this is a lingo heavy episode today, but construction managers and contractors have what's called a punch list, and that's the stuff that's not in the contract, not in the plans, just stuff to get done at the end. It's like a to-do list at the end. So. Today was dedicated to And I know this doesn't make for compelling radio, but backfilling a retaining wall.
Oh, boy.
Doing some work on the berms and also on some manholes and also some sewer work. There was a sewage issue that popped up late last week. But with the rain and snow over the weekend, crews couldn't really get around to that. So City Engineer John Schneider told City Council, you know, we're going to get to it on Tuesday. And he said, hopefully it'll all be done in a day, and hopefully Gulf Road will be reopened for traffic. Whether it stretches into Wednesday, we'll see. Still kind of waiting to hear from the city on that, but hopefully a lot of that gets done. And it's one more day, you know. It's a little bit of a headache for the people who and I spoke with probably a dozen people who live in that area and use that to commute, and they said after 2 years, you know. Maybe about half of them said, I can deal with another day. And then others said, oh, this is again, a little headache that I didn't need. Yeah. But it should all be done by the end of today.
Okay. Well, that's a great sign then.
Fingers crossed.
Yes, fingers crossed. Yeah, worst case scenario, maybe end up tomorrow. Yeah. But you're right, like you said.
Well, certainly they had the weather for it. I'll say that today.
Yeah. No,
very nice day outside.
Yeah. Well, you wrote an article that you published this morning, talking about how Elyria is going to issue $16.8 million in bonds. What's this going to be used for?
Compelling radio to pay off other bonds. there were bonds that were issued back in 2014, and Finance Director Ted Pulaski said, you know, we're actually going to save $700,000 if we issue these bonds to pay off some of these other notes from a couple of years ago. So, hey, city saves money. I think the taxpayers probably appreciate that. Then they're going to issue some other bonds to pay for some sanitation trucks and some new radios for the police department, and actually a whole new radio system for the police department, and some other matters. I believe there's also some you know sewer and stormwater work that needs done. So it's a little bit of municipal finance there for you. And but if the city saves money, that's I think taxpayers will probably appreciate that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it gives you, as the resident, an idea as to what your dollars are being used for, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, they're being allocated in the right spots, and they're going towards good causes. Again, maybe not the sexiest things on the face of the earth, but these are things that are necessities, right?
Certainly. Yeah, that's I know it's, again, and not everybody, and certainly myself, you know, understands all the higher finance, you know, issues, but pretty simply, it's, you know, issue these bonds, pay off these other bonds, you know, save on the interest, save on the debt, and there you go.
Yeah, well, there you go indeed. Okay, well, and you always put this in there also, which I love, in other business. You talked about how council had its first reading of a couple different ordinances that are actually going to be put up at public hearings next month. So you think you said May 6th, right? So
May
a little
6th,
over a
yes.
month away. Now, what exactly did these first two readings consist of?
Well, one was something that we had discussed, I believe, last week about the construction of cluster housing over at South Logan and Cornell Avenue on the east side. And we're looking at about, you know, 48 units thereabouts, ranging in price from $150,000 to $160,000. They're, you know, again, in sort of in that general price range. Through Yost Construction, and I believe Trillin LLC is the other company in there. And, you know, just additional housing, and, you know, they'll have a little homeowners association, and it's all behind the former Eastgate Elementary school building there. So you'll be just a quick walk away from a couple restaurants and some other, you know, and that kind of heavily traveled intersection of, you know, Abbey Road and over there. So we'll see what happens with that. Again, nobody's really come out against it, but the public hearing is where you can air your grievances or your concerns, or you can come out in support of the project. The other one was just very simply, and I should note that the City Planning Commission and Council's Community Development Committee were, you know, passed these on to Council with their recommendation to pass them. The other one's up on Shadden Road, Musilla Properties wants to rezone a building that's about 19,000-20,000 square feet. It was originally, you know, kind of private office, you know, office space and some warehousing space in there. Well, they want to turn it into a kind of a light industrial zoned property. And we're looking for the city's permission to do that. And again, that'll probably go through. I don't imagine that's a huge controversial item. But you could eventually down the line in a year or however long, see some more business, crop up in that area right there behind Mercy Health Cancer Center. So, Mercy Health was actually the original owners of that property, and they were considering demolishing it to expand the cancer center. When they didn't do it, sold the property. Mozilla grabbed it up, and here we are.
New business is good, right? I mean, that was a trend, I think, that developed a couple weeks ago when we last talked. So these are always fun things to talk about, for sure. All right, my man, we have to close it out this week with some legendary scanner stories. You'd sent one my direction not too long ago, talking about someone's hair getting caught on fire. Mm. And I read one over the weekend about a little girl screaming about, I believe, not getting any dessert. And like, this was like an actual call. Someone got so upset that this young lady was screaming so loudly that they felt compelled to call the police. And then they come to find out it was something pretty small and trivial. But what are the scanner stories you have for us this week?
Police action in the one was poor little girl. may she remain anonymous. Upset that she didn't get to eat dessert before she ate her dinner. I think we've probably all been there.
And there may be some
of us who have some more decades on this earth who
yes.
who were there in the past, and but we're adults now, we can make our own decisions. The other one you referenced was the Euclid Fire Department responding to a 51-year-old female, quote, who has set her hair on fire somehow. I hope she's okay.
Yeah. I always like the tag at the end there. Somehow.
Somehow.
So what do you have to do to set your hair on fire?
I'm sure it's easier than we think. Yeah. Curling irons are extremely hot. I'm assuming I don't know, chemicals, hairspray, irons?
Should the three of us really be talking about
that?
Yeah,
that's a good point. That's a problem we'll never have.
Certainly not a problem that will happen in this studio.
As the days go by, it becomes less and less of a problem for us.
And I do hope she's okay. I hope it wasn't, leaning over an open flame. I mean, I can imagine that might potentially happen. Any number of ways. For sure. I mean, get too close with some product in your hair and, flambe. I had another that was somewhat again, fire related. A car fire on I-480 East between near Transportation and Broadway. A female driver who was not aware her car was on fire until the Garfield Heights Police Department stopped her and got her out of the car. Again, I hope she's okay.
Now that's impressive to keep driving along there not realizing I wonder where all that smoke's coming from.
And again, if you're driving down the street, rocking out to your theme music,
and then
all of a sudden there's lights and sirens, you might want to stop and then unfortunately have to call your car insurance company. So.
One of those where you're like, why are they pulling me over this time? Yeah, thank you.
Feel like you might smell something or you might feel something, right? I mean, I don't know.
When the rubber hits the road, right? Sometimes there's just, somebody peeled out around here. Oh, no.
it's worse.
It's my exhaust.
Yeah. Yikes. Well, my man, I know you have to get back down to Grafton, so we certainly appreciate the time. Thank you so much for joining us here in studio. And we look forward to doing this again next week.
Thanks for having me.
Good stuff. That's Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle Telegram joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Dave's appearances brought to you by the fine folks down at Vandermark Jewelers. If your hair catches on fire at Vandermark, I'm not quite sure why in the world that might be the case, but you know what? You've got Jim and Bob and the entire gang down there. Not only would they put the fire out for you,